judicial intervention now blocking U.S. authorities from deporting illegal immigrants to Libya.
Attorneys for migrants facing deportation say in court filings, immigration enforcement agents have told their clients that they would be sent to Libya. Six people detained in southern Texas were told they needed to sign a document agreeing to the transfer, and when they refused, their lawyers say they were handcuffed and put in a separate room. A federal judge has found the Trump administration cannot deport migrants to Libya unless they have a meaningful chance to challenge their removal in court. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Tensions heating up between India and Pakistan. The Pakistani military says India fired attack drones into its country, wounding four soldiers. India, meanwhile, accusing its neighbor of attempting its own attack as the tensions soar between the two nuclear-armed rivals. Things are booming on Wall Street in early trading, the Dow up about 250 points. More from townhall.com.
Just hearing the word IRS can make people break out in a cold sweat. No one wants to deal with the IRS, and now you don't have to. The good news is Legal Tax Defense has been successfully negotiating with the IRS for more than 15 years. It doesn't matter how much you owe, whether it's $5,000 or $5 million, you deserve the best in the business on your side, and that is Legal Tax Defense. Even if you're working with someone else and just want a second opinion, there is no cost or obligation to call. They can prevent levies, liens, wage garnishments, even file back tax returns. And the best news about Legal Tax Defense is they won't take your case unless they know they will reduce or eliminate your tax debt. Call Legal Tax Defense right now for a free, no-risk consultation. 800-292-7875. 800-292-7875. You have nothing to lose but everything to gain. 800-292-7875.
Good morning. It's 11:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. The demolition of Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore has been approved, and the state will now move forward with plans to transform the site into a year-round hub for economic activity in the Park Heights community. On Wednesday, the Maryland Board of Public Works approved a contract of just over $14 million to begin the demolition sometime after this year's 150th Preakness Stakes. And city police are investigating a double shooting that left a teenager dead in East Baltimore. Officers on a service call heard gunfire in the 3500 block of Brems Lane at around 6:15 Wednesday evening. And when they arrived at the scene, they found a 19-year-old with a gunshot wound to the leg. Police in the area also stopped a vehicle at the intersection of Minnesota and Brendan Avenues, where they discovered a 15-year-old boy suffering from gunshot wounds. Both victims were taken to a hospital, where the 15-year-old was pronounced dead. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barowie at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barowie now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
Attention small business owners. Imagine cutting your overhead and putting more cash in your pocket. Whether you're a restaurant owner, hairdresser, doctor, lawyer, run a spa, HVAC company, or an electrician, your small business has untapped value. Bank the value of your expertise and spend it on what your personal or business needs. Why pay cash for products and services when you can trade your downtime and excess inventory? Barter Saves works with and helps thousands of local business owners in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and surrounding areas. Visit bartersaves.com today or call 800-9-BARTER and turn what you already have into everything you need.
Rapid Radios are instant push to talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscriptions ever. A great alternative to a mobile phone for your kids. For a limited time, go to rapidradios.com now for 60% off and free UPS shipping. Add code radio and get an extra 5% off.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Well, it'll be up to Dean Kramer this afternoon to stem the tide for the Birds as they take on the Twins at 1:10 p.m. O's losing their fourth in a row last night, 5-2 to Minnesota. Despite 10 hits, struggles continued at the plate in situational hitting. Problem, according to Brandon Hyde.
It's been going on for a while. If you just look at our offensive numbers, it's got a lot of guys struggling or not being where they hope they'd be.
Well, all right, let's take a look. Kerstad, 222. O'Neill, 215. Rutschman, 212. Mountcastle, 205. I think you get the picture. Caps try to even their series against the Hurricanes tonight in D.C. Game 2 of the conference semifinal. Head coach Spencer Carberry says they weren't surprised by Carolina in Game 1.
They're the most predictable team in the National Hockey League out of all 32 teams. I think you could ask any coach in this league, as you know exactly what you're going to get. It's the easiest pre-scout. That's not meant disrespectfully.
The Canes were just too much, controlling pace from puck drop, game two tonight at 7 p.m. With D.C. being announced as the host of the 2027 NFL Draft, the question is, what about Baltimore? Does it have a plan? Well, with the Ravens making major renovations at M&T Bank Stadium over the next 2 years, the answer is yes. Maryland Stadium Authority Vice President Terry Hausstein saying the state looking at the possibility of hosting the draft for 2029, 30, or 31. Coming up in 30 minutes, it's official. A new Pimlico is on the way. And that is Stein on Sports.
At WCBM, we stand for freedom, hard work, and the businesses that keep our community strong. The local businesses that support WCBM share our values. They believe in you, just like you believe in America. So when you need a service, a product, or a meal out, support the businesses that support WCBM. Your dollars stay local, help hardworking Americans, and keep conservative talk radio alive. Check out our trusted sponsors at WCBM.com and tell them you heard them on WCBM, because when we stand together, we thrive together.
At 11:07, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
You could run into some rain later today, a few showers, maybe a rumble of thunder. 82 the high today. Tomorrow, clouds and showers and cool temperatures, 68. The weekend, lots of sunshine, 74 the high Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Currently 64 degrees in Bel Air, 72 in Halethorpe, and 72 in Columbia. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thursday. If you're just joining us, I have to ask you, where the heck have you been? We were speaking to the OIG of Baltimore City, Isabel Cumming, last hour, and she was filling us in on the DPW investigation. Now, this investigation went on for quite some time. Over 10 months ago, she was before city council talking about how there were hundreds of DPW workers that did not have health insurance. And to our friend William that called before the break, he was saying that there were open enrollment meetings when he was doing a similar job and also worked with the union. And I know for a fact that those happened. I know for a fact because my mom, before she retired, that's what she did. So it's like, you know, they schedule a day and usually it's like, you know, something like DPW, you're not speaking to all of them at once. There might be two different sessions for the day, right? You speak to the one group during the morning, you know, while the other morning group is out collecting trash, and then they switch it up. And by the afternoon, she's speaking to the second group, right? And that is to make sure that everybody is very well aware on how to sign up for their health insurance and what they qualify for, whether or not they want to add family members. That's how it works. That's how it works. The fact that no one did this at DPW and hadn't done it for years, and the union never, ever picked up the phone to check any of this out. I mean, I'm sure there were people that were getting hurt on the job, and they had to have been contacting the union when they got hurt. Did the union not follow up and say, let's make sure these guys have health insurance? I mean, look, there's no worse way to say Black Lives Matter than this, right? Where is Baltimore City on this? Where's Mayor Scott and the city council on this? If you heard there from Isabel Cumming, and I'm going to go to the phone lines here because some of you have been patiently waiting, and I appreciate you weighing in on this. But you heard that Councilman Ryan Dorsey actually got up and walked out as some of these sanitation workers were giving their testimony on what they had to deal with on the job. And that's because Councilman Ryan Dorsey would rather, you know, be very chummy with the union. That's pathetic. Not surprising, though, when it comes to Dorsey. But this is where we are. Meanwhile, it'll be the same guy, Councilman Dorsey, that will, you know, have a Black Lives Matter sign in his front yard. That's the kind of guy he is. He cares more about leaf blowers, it seems, than DPW workers. I've got Mike in Parkton. Mike, did you want to weigh in on all this?
Hey, good morning, Kim. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Yeah.
Hey, you had a previous caller who was saying that they're coddling workers by providing water and so forth. And it is not coddling. It's called following the law. I have been in the trades and construction field for my entire life, over 30 years, and I'm now a contractor. And I can say, you know, I've seen it from both sides of the fence. And people have to realize, you know, one, you know, a human being died because of this. And actually, you know, we've had two fatalities. And you know, I would say it's because of just absolute gross negligence on the DPW's part, on the supervision, so forth. The, you know, when you have heat issues, people, one, as an employee, often employees will push themselves harder because they don't want to disappoint their employer. You know, they're afraid, especially if they're fearful of losing their job, something of that sort. Also, if people are properly trained, they will know that when people start to have a heat issue, they may not realize it. And especially as it becomes more severe, they can become delirious and, you know, not realize that they are actually getting into a very life-threatening situation. I mean, obviously, Mr. Silverman was aware that he was in distress, you know, seeking help. But the fact is that especially the driver of the truck apparently, you know, called a supervisor instead of 911 and didn't, I think, seem to render assistance, means either he was improperly trained, which I'll just say that, and I won't say it was a case of just being like apathetic, but the bottom line is Mr. Silverman's death was very avoidable on so many levels, because upper management apparently had been, one, if they had been following the law, they would have been out making sure that they have water, making sure that they're taking breaks, making sure that, it sounds like the drivers are usually like in this more of a supervisory position, that those drivers were routinely checking on the guys who are lifting the cans and so forth, making sure, are you guys drinking water? How much water have you been drinking? Are you, you know, and if need be, taking a break, especially when the temperatures are really hot. And, you know, none of that had happened. Right. And the fact is that, you know, same thing with the other DPW worker who was crushed with the vehicle. There's apparently large, numerous concerns and reports about how those vehicles, because of their size, they're an issue in the alleys. All of that should have been addressed and made sure that there were standard operating procedures that how those vehicles are maneuvered and how people, what position and where they are, and made sure that those are being followed. But you just listen to the reports across the board, and they just, supervisors were just staying in their office, apparently, obviously just neglecting guys of basic requirements and needs, water, toilet paper.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I'm not a litigious person, but I just, you know, I really hope the Silverman family takes Baltimore City to the cleaners and people start to realize that it's going to cost this city money, because it's already cost them two lives, and it's absolute shame.
Yeah.
Back in the, OSHA came up with a study 2 years ago, and I forget the exact percentage, but somewhere around like 90%, they realized that 90% of job fatalities or somewhere around there could have been avoided if just one person along the way had stepped in and said, wait a minute, because it's usually, you know, about 90% of the time, it's not a case where something just immediately happened and something died. There was numerous steps that were ignored or dangerous that no one said anything, and all of a sudden somebody dies. And then it's like, whoa.
Yeah, Mike. It becomes part of the culture. Mike, thank you so much for weighing in. I hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, same. Thank you, Kim, for the opportunity to talk.
Thank you. Yep. No, I appreciate it. I appreciate, you know, so many people are calling in now to talk about this. And again, I can understand where some people feel as though that it should have been on the workers to make sure that they were hydrated and such. And like, I understand where you're coming from on that note. But when you're dealing with the unions, you're dealing with the government, there are certain things that they are supposed to do. Romaine, my friend Romaine in Baltimore, how are you?
Hey, Kim, how you doing? I'm great.
Doing well.
I agree with Mike 100%. I work for Amazon, and we are inside. They make sure that water coolers are at every station throughout the entire building, because we're constantly moving and lifting and bending up and down the ladders. And you can get dehydrated real fast and don't even realize it. So they make sure that you have water. I always bring my own water.
Yeah.
You know, but they make sure that we have it. So DPW should supply water for their employees, if no more than to show their appreciation.
Right. Romaine, let me ask you.
They had never died.
Yeah, Romaine, let me ask you this. Do you think that family has a lawsuit on their hands when it comes to the city?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the previous caller said, they ignored it. He was ignored on so many occasions, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They had ample enough time to save that man's life, to get him some water.
Yeah, absolutely. Romaine, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. And I have a text here from Robert. Robert says, Kim, I'd like to know why his coworkers did not get him help. The lady who got him water and struggled to set the large sick DPW worker up said the able-bodied guys on the truck just stood there watching, talking on their phones, maybe possibly thinking he's being a wimp or faking it. Isn't there some sort of Good Samaritan law? Where is Black Lives Matter on this one? Absolutely nowhere. Yeah, I mean, you would think so. I don't know what could have been going through his coworker's head on that one. And as Romaine just pointed out, I mean, if you're working really hard and you're, you know, getting your job done, a lot of times you don't notice that you are getting dehydrated. And you're just, you know, I got to finish the job. I got to get this done by this o'clock. And, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I don't know if I've ever, I don't think I've ever been somewhere where they didn't supply some kind of water. I've got Kevin in Baltimore. Kevin, you wanted to weigh in?
Miss Kim, to beat the heat in the summertime, the VP workers actually should actually have their shifts changed so that they can go out and take their trucks out in the wee hours of the morning, maybe 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. The protocol for when your residents have your certain trash days, you're supposed to have your trash set out before midnight. And a lot of people are actually out there taking trash out there, you know, when a trash truck comes down the alley. But if... Mm-hmm. If the employees were to change the shifts during the high heat, you know, dull days of summer, especially when you got summer temperatures come out in late May and June, you figured, you know, they would help the workers by changing the hours.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make a lot of sense?
Yeah, Kevin, it would make sense. You know, what else would make sense, and this is kind of what I'm hearing time and time again, you know, I don't know what the deal is with this union, but if I were a DPW worker, I would stand up and say, you know, we no longer want to be a part of this union, and I'm not going to pay any of these dues because obviously they're not even helping them in any way.
Yes. I don't want to mention a company, but right here, right around Arbutus, I'm in Baltimore City, but right in Arbutus, they have a private sector trash company that does Catonsville and Arbutus area. And you see them workers out there, 1:30 in the morning. And sometimes they're in the wintertime as well as the summertime. So if the workers could actually work out of the heat during the course of the day, be a whole lot better off.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you, Kevin. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. A couple text messages here. Texter says, Kim, I'm sorry a guy died. The DPW should have provided water, but as a roofer and on the roof now, I would never go to work without water or stop if I'm overheating. That guy brought it on himself, even with water, et cetera. You can still overheat. That comes in from Tom. Yeah, Tom, you look, like I said, there are some people that feel that same way. Anthony says, Kim, he's full of crap. I did community service going around putting trash in the trunk. They only work 4 hours and they got paid. The job was not that hard. Well, Anthony, I think right now, and this is from my understanding, DPW is understaffed, and they have been even since right before COVID. And from my understanding, a lot of these guys are working overtime. And this is why, remember when Mayor Brandon Scott got in and he said that he was going to change like the trash pickups and the recycling because it was like one day a week and then he had to make it and adjust it to 2 days a week because, you know, that's what they used to have in the past. Well, from my understanding, they really don't have enough sanitation workers. And so some of these guys are working 10 to 12 hour days. And, you know, so it's, I don't know, I guess to get what, you know, everyone wants, which is a 2 day trash pickup, that's what they have to do is they have to work certain individuals much harder. I got Susan says, I bet Les Moore and Brandon Scott didn't even tip their trash men. No, they definitely didn't, Susan. There's no way that they're handing out Christmas cards like many people do with tips in it for the mailman and for the trash guy. I doubt they're doing that. I do doubt that. I got William in Fredericksburg. William, wanted to weigh in?
Yeah, how you doing? What it is, from my understanding, Antonio Brandt, Antonio Brown, is that his name? One of the council people down there?
You know what? I don't. You said Antonio Glover?
It's a Glover. My bad, Glover. From my understanding, he used to be a DPW worker.
Oh, you know what? You're right, William.
Okay, so my thing is, why didn't he bring this stuff up when, especially when it started coming out the way that it did? Why weren't he on the, if you will, cheering or going, you know, leading the charge for the DPW people? Because he was down there himself, so he knew the conditions, the areas that they was working in, what those areas looked like. Because we saw it on television with Elizabeth Cummings, and I'm telling you now, she's a blessing in disguise. We definitely need people like her on the battlefield to get this type of foolishness, that, you know, to put us away on what's going on, things like this. So I'm appreciative of her very much, and I'm quite sure those DPW people are the same way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They better make sure they give her a Christmas card and all kinds of stuff to appreciate that lady, because she went out there to define this foolishness. Another thing is, why is what I would like for Baltimore City to do, now that we know it's getting ready to get hot, let's try to help these DPW by maybe setting out a cooler or water or Gatorade or whatever, put up a sign, because that's what I'm going to do, because I try to catch some of these guys throughout the week, and then when I do catch them before I go to work, I got some water for you. How many of y'all on the truck? Take as many as you need, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If the Baltimoreans will go ahead and set out a cooler or something, let them guys come up and help themselves, you know, to help out with that, because they do an outstanding job. They do work hard in the hot, in the weather that they work in.
Right.
Kim,
right.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Continue on doing what you're doing. Y'all, happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, William. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend. Sure. Thank you, and happy Mother's Day to your family as well. And we'll continue this conversation when we get back. Real quick, Antonio Glover is a lifelong resident of East Baltimore. He attended Baltimore City Public Schools, and he did work at DPW. It is right here on his bio for City Council. When we get back, we'll you know what? I'll take a look during the break to see if he had any statements on this.
Hey, Sean Casey here. If you're thinking about home improvements, let me tell you about a company I personally stand behind. AES Builders and Home Improvements. For over 35 years, AES has built trust by delivering top-quality additions and remodeling. When they're done, you'll be happy. If you're not happy, they're not done. Having earned 43-plus Super Service Awards and an A-plus rating with a Better Business Bureau, AES is all about integrity and craftsmanship. They never cut corners, never bid to subcontractors, and always offer the best work at the lowest price. Plus, their free concierge service makes sure you get exactly what you want. And here's a great spring offer for the first 25 new customers calling in. AES will take $2,500 off any additions, kitchen, or bath remodeling. So call 1-800-787-SAVE. That's 1-800-787-SAVE. Or go to aeshome.us. AES, when they're done, you'll be happy. Don't forget, with that special offer, call now, 1-800-787-SAVE.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott joining me in studio once again. Melissa Sayev, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. You're here from AAI Audiology. All right, let's start this off. What can the ear tell us about other parts of our body?
So when you come into our office, we always do a really thorough evaluation, testing everything from the eardrum down to the nerve. And that way we can really kind of identify the part of the ear that's causing a problem. And that can give us a lot of information. So we have three parts of our ear, outer, middle, and inner, and all three can cause hearing loss and different types of hearing loss. But the configuration of the hearing loss we find also can give us quite a bit of information. So, for example, a low-frequency hearing loss might be related to certain diseases or pathologies that can occur in the ear. It can also be a problem with blood flow, especially if someone is complaining of pulsatile tinnitus, or like hearing your pulse in your ears.
Okay.
That is always a concern, and we kind of immediately assess the carotid artery and make sure that everything there is okay. That's usually a big concern when we hear that word pulsatile, or I hear my pulse in the ear. Also, we have just regular tinnitus, and we always want to make sure that if that is occurring, it's ear-related and not occurring because of medication or something more dangerous or harmful in the ear or in the brain that is exhibiting as tinnitus. So we always kind of want to do a thorough evaluation where we look at both ears, the outer, middle, and inner ear, and then that can help us really determine if there's something else in the body we should be concerned with.
And how often should these kinds of checks be done?
I mean, I think when we always get our eyes tested, we get our teeth cleaned, and no one really remembers the ear, especially as we age. And I think like around our 40s to 50s, we start to notice difficulty in background noise. Things need to be a little bit louder. And when that starts to happen, it's really worth coming in for a baseline so we can determine if things will get worse and how fast and if there's something that we need to be concerned with.
AAIAudiology.com, 410-944-3100. When silence is not golden, those are the folks you want to see.
Red Eye Radio is live.
Gary and Eric, the way you so beautifully express your anger and frustration, you serve like a substitute relief valve for my own anger and frustration and outrage.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley take your calls all night. Politics, breaking news, and more on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio is on every morning from 1 to 5 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, all right. We're still talking about DPW because we had our in-studio guest, the OIG, Isabel Cumming from Baltimore City. And again, I appreciate her coming in, and I appreciate all the messages and all the phone calls on this. Real quick, we'll go to the phone lines. I've got Wayne in Ellicott City. Wayne, did you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I do. You know, if Brandon Scott can get on the TV, radio, et cetera, and tell all his constituents about free tax preparation, he ought to get back on TV or radio and tell them to clean up their city, pick up their trash, put it in a trash can. He ought to be on there every other day. Ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the culture in Baltimore City surrounding just throwing the trash on the ground, I mean, it is kind of, it's really ridiculous. And I do. I blame everybody in the city. I blame the parents. I blame them all, to be honest with you.
We have to shame them. You have to shame them. But he's afraid to do that because then he'll lose votes.
Yeah, yeah. Wayne, thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. So I did look up Councilman Antonio Glover. I was looking to William, having me do work. Right here, okay. I did see where, when it comes to legislation, because I was kind of trying to see what he ran for office on. When it comes to legislation, I only see two pieces here that passed. Landlord-tenant lease renewals, he worked on that. That is for requiring absent certain good cause circumstances, landlords to offer tenants a reasonable opportunity, renew leases, providing for manner of notice for which a landlord must send renewal notices or decline a renew notice. Okay, so there's, you know, a push on landlords there. And then this other one, urban renewal, Middle East amendment for the purpose of amending the urban renewal plan for Middle East to modify certain land uses allowed in the plan to correct, clarify, conform certain provisions and references in the plan to those in the current Baltimore City zoning code, to replace Appendix B with the Appendix B to delete Appendix E. What the heck is this? Oh, gosh. All right. So urban renewal looks like he's trying to do something about. There was also something here because it says meet Tony, something about the housing. I know in the east area, because he's over in the east side of Baltimore, because I remember there was a shooting on Greenmount Avenue, and he did an interview with Fox 45 about the crime and the violence over there on the east side. Crime Prevention and Crime Control is also on his page. He doesn't really talk about working on anything with DPW, even though he did work there for quite some time. Looks like he was there for 15 years at DPW. All right, when we get back, I'll take some more of your calls. We'll also talk about the FBI Baltimore office and what they're working on.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump today announcing a trade agreement with the United Kingdom. Writing on social media, the president called the deal with Britain a full and comprehensive one that will cement the relationship between the U.S. and the United Kingdom for many years to come. It's the first trade agreement achieved since President Trump rolled out his worldwide tariffs at the start of April. The president also confirming talks will be held this week between the U.S. and China. Those meetings set to take place in Switzerland. And the president confirms that he is open to the possibility of exemptions for goods that help parents with their young children, things like car seats, cribs, strollers, and other child care and baby products. The Pakistani military says India fired attack drones into its country, wounding four soldiers. India, meanwhile, accusing its neighbor of attempting its own attack. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 250 points. This is SRN News.
Don't miss out on the Memorial Sale at Rescue Natural Supplements. With prices rising across the country, Rescue is rolling back prices to the year 2010. Enjoy their fantastic buy two bottles, get one free, and buy three bottles, get two free. Stock up on your favorites, save big with Rescue rollback pricing and generous free bottle offers. Whether you're in need of 1250 omega-3s, cholesterol supporters, probiotics, or natural pain relief, everything is on sale. Call 800-26-ALIVE, that's 800-262-5483. And speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com. That's res-q.com. Don't miss this opportunity for huge savings on over 50 Rescue products to tackle your health goals. 2010 rollback prices and the Memorial sales are going on now through May 29th. Go shop res-q.com. That's res-q.com today.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. Someone that's flown a bit under the radar for the Ravens in terms of their draft class is sixth-round pick LaJonte Wester, a big-time punt returner out of Colorado. Averaged 11 per return on 66 punts in college, including two for scores. Here's Ravens GM Eric DaCosta.
If you watch him, I think he's a twitchy, explosive punt returner. I think, you know, last year it became evident that we could probably get better there at that position.
The Ravens' longest punt return a year ago was just 22 yards, bottom five in the league. NBA last night at the Boston Garden, it was the Knicks who made history, up one with 5 seconds to play.
It's Tatum. Robinson's out. Tatum maneuvering. Oh, the ball knocked away. Another great defensive play for the Knicks. They've got it. They've won it. New York has gone up 2-0.
Kevin Harlan with the call on TNT. The New York Knickerbockers become the first team in NBA history to come back from 20 points down in the second half, on the road, in the playoffs, in back-to-back games. 91-90, the final. Knicks up 2-0. And finally, Preakness 2025 will now officially be the last at Old Pimlico. State giving final approval yesterday for a $400 million renovation of Old Hilltop. Preakness will move to Laurel in 26. Racing is expected to return full-time to Pimlico in 27. Coming up in 30 minutes, Charlie Morton at a loss for words. And that is Stein on Sports.
There is some rain on the way, but the payoff is a gorgeous weekend. Just in time for Mother's Day. A little bit of rain today. A few showers, some thunder this afternoon. 82, the high today. Showers, some storms overnight. Tomorrow, more showers. Cooler, 68. And then sunny and mild Saturday. 74, the high Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Unlock your business's energy-saving potential. BGE will cover up to 75% of the cost of your energy-efficient upgrades, savings that will help boost your bottom line. Visit bgesmartenergy.com/radio.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? When it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. You'll get the same fast, reliable nationwide coverage without the Big Wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month. Here's Veronica and Jackie, real customers.
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
And now for a limited time, new customers can get their second month free when they use promo code SECONDFREE. Just call, click, or bring us your bill and see how much you can save. Because when it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit a store near you, or consumercellular.com and use code SECONDFREE to get a free second month. Real people paid to share their opinions in this ad. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Jim Barbie and White Marsh and Jasper Engines and Transmissions offer a cost-effective solution to your present engine and transmission trouble. Avoid a costly new car purchase or high lease payments by putting life into your present vehicle. Let Jim Barbie Automotive install a Jasper remanufactured engine or transmission with a 3-year, 100,000-mile nationwide warranty and premium service plan. Call Jim Barbie Automotive at 410-335-8848.
Looking for affordable blinds, shades, or shutters for your home? Don't hire an expensive pro. Check out Blinds.com, where they offer custom-made window coverings at guaranteed low prices with a team of pros ready to help you every step of the way. Blinds.com.
Stop feeling embarrassed about thinning hair and start looking and feeling your best with Hair Grow by New Nordic. Available online at Amazon, Walmart.com, and NewNordicUSA.com, or at your local CVS.
From Dundalk to the boardwalk, from Pikesville to Parkville, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680.
All right, we're going to wrap up this conversation in regards to DPW. Again, thank you to the Inspector General of Baltimore City, Isabel Cumming, for coming on the show and being here live in studio. I know she's very busy, and she did tell me that she will be back. So maybe next time we can get her for an entire hour, because I want to hear more about so many other investigations they've worked on with her office, including former state's attorney Marilyn Mosby. Remember, it was Marilyn Mosby that asked or requested that Isabel Cumming investigate her, and that's how all of that went down to where Marilyn Mosby was, you know, soon found herself sitting inside a court of law. That was wild. I want to talk about that. I really do. Let's see. I want to talk to Paul at Edgewood. Paul, you wanted to weigh in on DPW?
I sure do. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, first off, I have a property on Mount Pleasant Avenue and Cochran Street. And since the last 5 years, I've seen the amount of trash has built up 5 and 6 times. And the workers are overworked. Trash is everywhere. But also, there's so much corruption within the department. I mean, I have friends that work in the office, and they see the numbers and all that other stuff. They paid money out for, you know, safety stuff, water, this and that, but they never actually spend it on that. And it's a crying shame that the man lost his life all because of picking up trash.
Yeah.
I used to put ice water out with my trash in a plastic bag with Gatorade or water or soda. It's unbelievable the amount of trash that they throw out on you in the alleys and the gutters and all that in the streets.
Yeah, yeah. I'm right there with you, Paul. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. And Paul brings up a good point. We know about a little bit about the corruption just from the standpoint that you had the councilman, Yitzi Schleifer. He came forward and he really started talking about all the failures within DPW. And then he noted at a council meeting that they decided to not pick up the trash on his block. Do you remember this? And so he actually had to call down there and say, haha, very funny. You need to come pick up the trash. And he said the thing that stood out the most was the fact they knew exactly who he was and where he lived without him even telling them. So they must have made a note there at DPW. It's probably one of those things that are, you know, hanging on the wall, like, you know, like in a gym. This person's wanted, haven't paid their membership, and they'll, like, put their picture on the wall in, like, the employee room. Well, guess what? This is probably what they did to Councilman Yitzi Schleifer. And so they knew not to pick up the trash on his entire block. And so when he called, they knew exactly who they were speaking to. They did not need to hear whether or not it was Councilman Yitzi Schleifer. And they didn't need to hear which street it was they were purposely avoiding, because they already knew. So I'm right there with you, Paul. I think there's lots of corruption. And hopefully the IG, she'll continue to get to the bottom of it. Real quick, before we move on to the FBI Baltimore field office, because that's a whole nother can of worms. Just so you know, you have City Council President Zeke Cohen and Mayor Brandon Scott. They're going toe-to-toe right now over the 2026 budget. I want you to take a listen.
City Council President Zeke Cohen and Mayor Brandon Scott. Cohen calls these fines and fees a consistent concern for him since the 2026 budget was first introduced in early April. He told me after this morning's Board of Estimates meeting that he approves of new fines that deter residents from illegal dumping and speeding because they'll improve the quality of life for communities. But he says some of the proposed fees would increase costs for residents who are already struggling to pay their bills.
When it comes to things like an EMS transport, when it comes to rental licensing, when it comes to just any business licensing, look, Baltimoreans are at a very volatile time economically. And so my message throughout this process and what I'm hoping that as we negotiate the budget with the administration comes out is that we are able to make the right investments in local government, but not on the backs of hardworking Baltimoreans.
Now, Mayor Brandon Scott really pushed back on this, emphasizing that this budget cuts $2 in expenditures for every new dollar in revenue, pointing out that some of these fees haven't been raised in decades, and that raising them finally brings Baltimore in line with other cities.
We understand the pressures that everyone is feeling, and that's why we're going at this in a way that we are not trying to broadly increase fines and fees or taxes on our residents. This is why, even though the state gave us the authority to raise income taxes, I said, no, we're not doing it. But if folks don't want to get housing code violations, don't leave your trash out the wrong way. Don't let your grass get too high. And if you have a neighbor that is struggling, help your neighbor out and cut that grass for them so that we can help your neighborhood be better.
The city spending board approved the 2026 budget at today's meeting, and several steps remain before a final city council vote on June 26th. For 11 News Investigates, I'm Tali Taylor.
All right. As you heard there, that was Channel 11. And, you know, it's interesting that the council president, Zeke Cohen, pushed back. I remember when he was running for this position as council president. If you ever heard him talk about the position, what he talked about most was the Board of Estimates and the fact that he would finally be the chair. Okay. Zeke Cohen is all about how the money is being spent in Baltimore City. And that's not a bad thing, right? So Mayor Brandon Scott still has GVRS on this list of items to fund. That should be taken off of there. These new people in his office, because he wants to expand the budget in his office, because he wants some serious media training. You're not going national, my friend. Take that off of there, right? You don't need hundreds of thousands of dollars or more for that. But there's little things that add up. Now, I do agree with the mayor in the fact that he said, look, if you don't want a legal dumping fee, don't illegally dump. If you don't want a fee because you've allowed, you know, this home that is now vacant, but you still own, to sit there with this tall grass, then you got to go over there and take care of your property. I don't care if you don't live there or not. So there are certain things where I actually agree with the mayor on this. The interesting part about all of this, to be honest with you, is it's going to pass anyways. It's going to pass. They don't have a choice. They don't have a choice. You might have Zeke Cohen stand up against the mayor, but he's not going to get a whole lot of support from other city council members. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. And so right now, it literally looks like grandstanding because not much is going to change. As you heard there, this still has to go before the council and they're still going to chat about it. But this is going to get passed regardless. And honestly, when you're looking at the state level, you're looking at the federal level and the fact that they're not going to be getting some of these federal funds. You know, of course, they're bracing for that as well. But they should not have built an economy on receiving federal money. But this is what they've done. So it's like they've done it to themselves. And I don't feel too bad because the voters, again, voted for this. If the people of Baltimore are really upset and tired of having taxation without representation, right? They're paying property taxes. The schools are horrendous. They're paying taxes. You know, they even have issues with their trash getting picked up. But a lot of this is, again, those guys are working overtime. They might not have enough people. But it's still what they're paying for in their taxes. I mean, the voters have to do better. They really do. I did want to mention as well, I think you might have seen, if you haven't already, there were some Hamas supporters that took over the library at Columbia University. And I just wanted to mention this because we're going to go on to this other story. But I watch and I read some commentary online. And the way that some people talk about the Jewish community, even in the Republican Party, is, you know, incredible. It's astonishing. And you have some people that are saying, well, they're peacefully protesting and, you know, that's what we allow to happen and this and that. So these, you know, of course, they say they're pro-Palestinian. They all hide their faces. They've got all these scarves and stuff on. They don't want to show who they are. We find out that there are many of them that don't even attend the school. They're just there to cause chaos. But they took over the library at Columbia University as students were studying for their finals. Let me tell you why they don't have this happening at HBCUs. Okay, let me tell you that. At HBCUs, you don't have a large Jewish population. At HBCUs, homie, don't play that. Okay, they wouldn't even allow something like that to happen. Now, you're probably wondering, why doesn't this happen at like TCU or some of these Christian universities? Why? Again, they're not going to fight for Palestine at some of those universities because they want to intimidate and harass Jewish students. I don't know why this is hard for some people to understand. They are targeting Jewish students. So when you have a university with a large Jewish population, you have these Hamas, our pro-Palestinian supporters, going to these universities to harass, threaten, and abuse Jewish students. Why do you see these people on the campuses of some of these Mormon schools? Why? Because the Jewish aren't there. Like, I don't know why this is so hard for people to understand. This is about threatening Jewish students. And so for some people that I watch online, I don't say anything. I watch online as they say, oh, that's not a big deal. Or, oh, they shouldn't have arrested those people. Or this is literally, quite literally, what we fought against for the civil rights. Quite literally, we had this fight. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I love the fact that the message is now out there. You know, those people that were there, they were arrested, especially those that could not show that they had a student ID, that they were actually supposed to be there on Columbia's campus. And I'm glad that President Trump is straightening all this out by him putting his foot down when it comes to Harvard and some of these other schools. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. I guarantee you right now, even though some of these universities are open year-round, you're not going to see these protests out there year-round where the Jewish students or other students aren't there. You're not going to see it because this is about harassing Jewish kids. That's what this is about. So I just wanted to put that out there for anybody that doesn't understand why you don't see this at Christian universities, why you don't see this at Mormon schools, why you don't see this at HBCUs. It's because the Jewish aren't there. The Jewish aren't there. And to all those that want to be very pro-Palestine and you want to support Hamas, go to Gaza. No one's stopping you. No one. I would just like to say to those that are dealing with this, I'm sorry that you're dealing with this. I'm sorry. I didn't think that we would have this happening on American soil in 2025. Never thought I'd see it. But here we are. And this is something else that the left has allowed, right? We protect the LGBTQIA community. But when it comes to the Jewish community, they don't care. They don't care. Either you care about, you know, different communities or you don't. And I don't think that many of these students are going to school and their parents aren't paying for them to go to Columbia University to be harassed while they're trying to study for finals. And that's not peacefully protesting when you're threatening people and you're in there. And just so you know, there's videos all over the internet. If you haven't seen it already, just type in Columbia University. They all pop up. They're there to harass these students. And, you know, what do you expect those students to do back? Because if somebody defended themselves, then what? Then what would happen? If you have a Jewish student that said, you know what, I'm done, I'm tired of this, and they went to Columbia, and they had, let's say they had a gun on them, and they actually did something, then what? What's the conversation then? Let's not get to that point. All right. I got to play this for you because this is really disturbing, but I'm starting to connect the dots. Shout out to the FBI Baltimore field office for cracking down on child predators. Take a listen.
The FBI has carried out a 5-day nationwide crackdown aimed at child sex abuse called Operation Restore Justice.
Fox 25's Rebecca Pryor sat down with a special agent from the FBI's Baltimore field office who shares details about local arrests made and the operation's broader mission.
Yeah, of the more than 200 arrests, 3 of them were made by the FBI's Baltimore field office. One of those, a former mayor out of Prince George's County. FBI Baltimore saying it just goes to show anyone can be a predator, and parents need to be on alert.
In my over 10 years of working crimes against children, this is the first time a nationwide operation like this has been solely focused on child sex offenders. And we had such an amazing result.
FBI Baltimore Supervisory Special Agent Leslie Adamczyk sitting down with Fox 45 discussing the results of Operation Restore Justice, the DOJ's unprecedented cross-country crackdown against child sex offenders. In a coordinated effort by all 55 FBI field offices during the last week of Child Abuse Prevention Month, more than 200 alleged predators arrested and 115 children rescued in just 5 days.
If you harm our children, you will be given no sanctuary.
If you are online targeting a child, you will not escape us.
Baltimore's field office, which serves both Maryland and Delaware, responsible for 3 of the arrests. One of them, a former mayor of the town of University Park in Prince George's County, Joel Bierman, accused of producing, possessing, and distributing child sex abuse material. The alleged offenses spanning more than a decade and overlapping some of his time in office.
These offenders, they're everyone.
Adamczyk saying the arrest should serve as a warning to predators. No one is above the law. And to parents.
Police officers, teachers, lawyers, doctors. We've arrested all sorts of people that you wouldn't expect would be arrested. So, you know, parents should be aware that it can be anyone who's exploiting children.
Again, please, parents, I know we talk about this often. You got to watch what your kids are doing. If your kids are on Roblox, understand that you can befriend somebody that, you know, you don't know. It's kind of like friending somebody on Facebook. And then all of a sudden, they're your Roblox friend. Okay, so there are predators that are trying to communicate through that, through Fortnite, through a lot of these different games. You got to be aware of what's going on with your kid. You have to be. But coming up next, I do want to play one more sound for you because the arrest of the mayor in University Park, it made me think of a mayor that was arrested in College Park for something similar. Coming up next.
Comcast Business is celebrating Small Business Month by giving you a $1,000 small business bonus when you switch to a qualifying gig speed package from the company with over 99.99% network reliability. Just imagine the thousands of possibilities of a $1,000 prepaid card. Like possibility number one, company merch for staff. Stylin'. Or possibility number 24, the latest software. Upgrade. Possibility number 192, new equipment powered by gig speeds. Or possibility number 555, a 3D printer. Rapid prototyping, anyone? Switch to Comcast Business for over 99.99% network reliability, advanced cybersecurity, and now get started with a $1,000 small business bonus. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
And 622.25, new customers only with 2-year agreement. Other restrictions apply.
Springtime can bring a new season of change and growth. Getting back into activities can be difficult, though, if you suffer from pain in your feet, knees, hips, or lower back. GoodFeet Arch Supports can be the solution you need. Visit GoodFeet.com to book your appointment today.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey, guys, it's Carson. Thursday on the show, Biden's new and completely delusional interview.
Look, we finally beat Medicare.
He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death.
Plus, my hometown is becoming a dystopian Mad Max-style hellhole at night where people are afraid to go out after 8.
Time for a crime spree.
And we've got a Democrat mayor.
Big surprise.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
President Trump announcing the first trade deal between U.S. and U.K. We will talk about that tomorrow. I want to jump back into the story here about the Baltimore field office cracking down on child predators. So at University Park, you had this former mayor, Joel Bierman. He was arrested for 46,000 images and videos found on his possession. And then in July 2023, Governor Wes Moore actually appointed Joel Bierman to serve at the Maryland Veterans Home Commission, by the way. So this guy was, you know, somewhat known in politics in Maryland. But also, Mayor Patrick Wuhan. Do you remember that name? If not, take a listen.
Decades in prison, that's the sentence for the former mayor of College Park after he took a plea deal in a child pornography case. Denise joins us with the new developments. Denise.
Well, Nikki, Patrick Wohan will spend 30 years in prison after he pled guilty to 140 counts stemming from child pornography possession and distribution. It's a dramatic fall from grace for a man who served as College Park's mayor for 7 years. Today, the state's attorney defended the sentence.
This was an agreed to plea. So both parties, both sides, my office and the defense, sat down and hashed out what we believed was appropriate.
Today's sentencing came after extensive work by police, social services, and victims' advocates. Authorities began investigating the 48-year-old Wohan in February after they got a tip from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They were told someone in their county was distributing child pornography. When police raided Wohan's home and seized his electronic devices, they say they found more than 1,500 videos and images depicting child pornography, and that Wohan admitted sharing them on a private Kick account. He resigned several days later, shocking the community he had served.
It's a bit crazy how you think someone in power could be, doing things like that. It kind of just says a lot.
When I heard about it as a new resident of Maryland, I thought it was very disturbing.
During today's sentencing in court for over an hour, the suffering of the hundreds of children who were depicted on Wohan's devices and the lifelong impact was described.
Behind every image he possessed is a story. And the reason why he pled to 140 counts was because our office is not going to take a position as to which child deserves to have their rape that was memorialized on video and forever lives on the internet pled to. And on his device, he had memorialized more than 500 victims who were sexually abused, raped, and tortured.
Now, as part of his plea, once Wohan is released, he faces 5 years probation, no unsupervised contact with children, and he must undergo therapy and register as a convicted sex offender.
All right, so that was Mayor Patrick Wohan, and I remember us talking about this story. That came out about a little over a year ago when he was finally indicted. And remember, he was the mayor of College Park. He had just won re-election, right? So this guy, Joel Bierman, he was the former mayor at University Park. Now, he did not win re-election, but if you heard there were over 500 victims that were found, and they said 1,500 images and videos that were on Mayor Patrick Wohan's laptop. I mean, just let all of this sink in. I mean, this is a lot of kids that have been harmed, and these are just two individuals. But if you heard, you know, they're training and passing, you know, this child pornography. I just wonder, how big is this ring? This has got to be, it's got to be little bits and pieces of a bigger picture. Again, shout out to the FBI. Shout out to the Baltimore field office for doing the job. We'll continue to stay tuned. But I said this before when Mayor Patrick Wohan was arrested. I think there's other people in office that's involved in this. And we shall see. All right, tomorrow we'll talk about this big trade deal that Trump announced between the U.S. and the U.K. and so much more. As always, Brian, thank you for a great show. I hope all of you have a great afternoon. And I'll talk to all of you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
When you struggle with Crohn's disease or ulcerative